Hey everybody, welcome to the program. We are talking today with Vern Roof. He's the Northside Fire District Fire Commissioner, and we have lots of questions for him, and here's the good news, he has lots of answers for us. So keep it right here on your favorite radio stations, or join in with us anywhere there's internet at northidahoradio.com for our live stream listening. My name is Barbara, and we're going to get to those details and all the good information for you right after these messages.
Have you tried the new Fast Lane checkout at the Sandpoint Super One Foods? There's 6 new Fast Lane checkout stations, and they are super convenient and super easy to use. Check it out today. And if you're looking for a great job, Super One Foods is hiring with a variety of positions available, with some of them starting at $18 an hour. Apply today at superonefoods.net or simply stop by the store and ask for Steve or Lynn. Super One Foods in Sandpoint.
I was driving too fast on Gold Creek Road when I hit some loose rocks from a quarry load. I ran into a road grader, smashed my grill and radiator, and underneath my car, a green river. I could have driven home with ease, but my car lost all of its antifreeze. It was a muddy mess, a real quagmire, a smashed front end and a punctured tire, and underneath my car, a green river.
Anderson's Auto Body.
Let's get something straight.
You may think that bladder leaks only happen to women at a certain age, but it is a common condition for women of all ages. In fact, 1 in 3 women suffer from stress urinary incontinence, or SUI. SUI is caused by a weakness in the pelvic floor and can cause anxiety about leaks while performing activities like walking, sneezing, or laughing. Northwest Women's Care is now offering an FDA-approved treatment called Bulkamid. Bulkamid is a clinical-grade gel that is applied during an in-office procedure, which typically takes less than 10 minutes and allows you to return to your normal activities almost immediately. Studies show that 92% of women reporting their bladder leaks were cured or improved after their treatment and have demonstrated that Bulkamid is both safe and effective. Best of all, Bulkamid is now covered by most insurance providers. Contact Northwest Women's Care at 208-262-2482 to schedule your appointment or learn more at nwsh.com/Bulkamid.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
97.1 FM, 1450 KBFI, and 1400 KSPT.
Hey everybody, come on back in. Say hello and welcome to Vern Roof. He is the fire commissioner for the Northside Fire District. Vern, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Barbara.
Well, I have lots of questions, like I said in the intro, and let's just start with everyone understanding the Northside Fire District geographical service area. What is the area that you serve?
Okay, we serve about 119 square miles. To put that in perspective, that's about twice the area of Spokane. Certainly, we don't have the population, but we certainly have the landmass. To give people a little bit more of an impression as far as what we cover, if you're on Highway 95 going through Pend'Oreille, we cover all the way up to the Boundary County line. If you take Highway 200 towards Clark Fork, we stop right around mile marker 41. Certainly, we cover the cities of Pend'Oreille, Kootenay, the Selly Valley, rapid lightning. So that should give you a pretty good appreciation. But the 119 square miles, figure twice the area of the city of Spokane. So we have a pretty large geographic area.
That is a huge area to cover and get your equipment and your people to when the need arises. I think people are also interested is what is the process for you being called out? How does it happen? It goes through dispatch, and then how does it come to you?
Essentially what happens is somebody will dial 911. It will go to the sheriff's office, and the sheriff's office dispatches both fire, emergency medical, and then law enforcement. And then that information is transmitted to the individual volunteer fire departments and paid departments in Bonner County.
So it comes into the fire station where you guys are located, and there's a single station or there's multiple?
You know, in the Northside Fire District, we have four separate fire stations.
Wow.
Only one of them are manned. And just to give you an idea where those stations are, our main fire station is at 437 Cedar Avenue in Pend'Oreille, and that's right next to the post office. Our station two, as you're leaving Pend'Oreille on 95, it's about two and a half miles out on the right-hand side. Our station four is right across from the Samuels to Conoco, right up there in Samuels. And then we have a station three, which is right across from the Pack River store on Rapid Lightning.
Oh, yes. So when that call comes in from dispatch, it's going into fire station one right there in Pend'Oreille, and then that's the manned group that coordinates who is actually going to get called out. How do you get the word out to your volunteers?
All the volunteers have pagers. So when the pager goes off, it gives them the information. And also we have an active 911 on our cell phones. So we'll get a printout of what the emergency is, where it is. It'll give us other pertinent information. And then the volunteers can respond accordingly, or the paid staff at station one. They'll go ahead and immediately respond. They'll answer up to dispatch indicating what unit or units are responding. And then we're on the way to the call.
You know, before we went on the air, we were talking briefly about, the misunderstandings that people have about what you do, you know, what services you provide. So what are the different emergencies that would come into your fire station that you guys will roll out for?
Well, last year we had 840 calls for response. Out of those, probably 18 or 20 were for some type of building fire. For instance, a house fire, a garage fire.
Say that again. Of the 840, how many were for a building fire?
About 17 or 18.
Only?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
And then we have another category where we have service calls. We have alarm activations where a fire alarm might be sounding. We have instances where wires are down. We have instances where we might have a vegetation or wildland fire. We have circumstances where there's quite a few vehicle accidents. We also have instances, certainly I don't want to forget that we go out on an awful lot of emergency medical calls. And our emergency medical calls, if I could expand a little bit about that, normally throughout the United States, most fire departments, their percentage of emergency calls make up about 70 to 80% of their responses.
Wowza. I never would have guessed that. I just thought fire would be 70 to 80 and medical along with that maybe also, but on its own, I don't know. Anyway, so 78%
about
medical.
70 to 80%. Northside, we kind of bucked the trend where we're about 50-50. And the reason that is when someone were to go ahead and call into 911, the calls are categorized in three separate ways. If I can give you a couple of examples.
Sure.
Let's say that you fall at home and for instance, you've fractured your arm. The dispatcher will speak with you. They have it's almost like a recipe card where they'll go through and they'll prioritize and determine exactly what type of resource you need at that particular emergency. That particular circumstance would be most likely what is called a BLS call. That's a basic life support. More than likely, the fire department would not be responding on that. They would just send an emergency ambulance for that. The second type of call would be an ILS, or an intermediate life support. Let's say you took that fall at home, and I don't mean to pick on you taking falls, but let's say that you've broken a leg.
I never fall.
That's a good thing. Let's say you've got a fractured hip, a fractured leg, you've injured your back, where it will require more personnel than just the two persons on the ambulance. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps you're in an upstairs room, you're in a position where you need just additional personnel there. In that particular circumstance, we would be dispatched for that for the additional assistance. A third type of call is the most severe. It's called an ALS call, which is your advanced life support call. That would include someone who's had a heart attack, there's CPR in progress, it's a serious traumatic incident such as a gunshot wound, an automobile accident, a knife wound, really anything that would affect breathing and would require multiple personnel. Our personnel, we're there to assist. We're trained as emergency medical technicians, and our firefighters oftentimes will jump right in the back of the ambulance to help the paramedics, or if there are circumstances where it's best to have two paramedics in the back with a patient, our firefighters can also drive the ambulance to the hospital. That way the person gets the highest level of medical care.
You know, that is so interesting to me. And you respond, and I knew this before, I just didn't know the percentages or the numbers of responding to vehicle accidents. So who makes the call? I mean, is it at dispatch again? They make the call that this is, I mean, you're surely not called out, you know, on just, is there such a thing as a routine vehicle thing that's going to stop traffic, but there's no life-threatening thing going on?
Oh, absolutely. We're dispatched on several types of vehicle accidents. Certainly, there's those vehicle accidents where people are calling in. We're getting multiple calls that people may be trapped. There might be a fire involved. There's multiple victims, in which circumstances would dictate a larger response.
And who is making that decision for the larger response?
The dispatcher is collecting the information, and then they'll pass the information on to us, and that at some point we can also upgrade responses. We may advise dispatch, would you go ahead and notify Life Flight? Would you go ahead and notify a neighboring fire agency to start transitioning more equipment our way?
Okay.
We also go on quite a few non-injury vehicle accidents involving deer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, animals. Those are regarded as non-injury vehicle accidents where oftentimes there might be damage to a vehicle. Perhaps the person's shaken up, but they're not requiring any medical assistance. So really, the dispatchers get the most information they can. We always err on the side of the person that's out there in their vehicle. And there are circumstances where we show up and it's not as bad as it originally sounded, or perhaps something that did not sound that it was serious. Once we get on the scene and we're able to evaluate, we determine, boy, it's a good thing, you know, everybody was sent to this.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me. I've done a lot of interviews with Sheriff Wheeler and other deputies on the sheriff's team with Sandpoint Police, with state police, and Chaplain Corps. I've had a couple of over the years with the Chaplain Corps, and I cannot tell you, at some point during the program, every one of them sings the kudos to the dispatchers. They are so smart and so well with that menu that you talked about, that they but their experience and how well they are able to sort things out quickly with obviously someone who's in distress or panicked or upset or sick or fallen. And so those dispatchers are really important, aren't they?
Absolutely. If you think of it this way, the whole call starts with a dispatcher picking up that phone. Mm-hmm. What they do in those first several initial minutes usually dictates how the outcome of the call evolves. And, you know, they do have this little, for lack of a better word, they have this recipe card, so to speak, and they'll be asking specific questions. And then they're also very good at giving instructions on how to do CPR, perhaps stem the flow of bleeding, give instructions to persons as far as trying to stay safe prior to the arrival of law enforcement or EMS or fire services. So once again, it all starts with the dispatcher, and usually they're the last ones to have the final say-so when you think about it, when we sign off after the successful conclusion of a call.
Yeah, that is excellent. Very interesting. Well, Vern, you're fire commissioner, and like I told you before, I'm not sure I know the difference between fire commissioner and fire chief. And so tell us what your job is.
Well, my job, I am an elected official, a politician. And if you think of it this way, the commissioners, there are three of us. Some fire districts have five, some have seven, but we have three commissioners in our fire jurisdiction. If you think of it as the commissioners, we're more administrative. whereas, for instance, our fire chief and our firefighters, they're more the operational. We try to provide for them what they need. We're setting budgets. We're assisting with the hiring of personnel. You know, once again, as much as I would like to be more involved with what goes on in the active fire scenes and emergency scenes, once again, I'm more of an administrative person. Because we're so low on volunteers, I've kind of been pressed into service as a volunteer, kind of as a support person. So I will show up at calls to give assistance. I'll take a water tender, whatever I can do to assist. And I'm hoping we can talk about just our shortage of volunteers a little bit later on. I don't want to ruin any surprises.
No, absolutely. No, we've got all of that on the list. So I don't know, you called yourself a politician, but I'm assuming that you came through the ranks or you came through experience with firefighting in other areas of the country.
Yes, and I pretty much started when I was about 15 years of age. I'm from the East Coast originally, and I can remember my dad taking me down to the nearest volunteer fire station. I didn't have a driver's license at the time, so he took me there for training. And it was just south of Washington, D.C., and everybody thinks, well, geez, Washington, D.C., it's a big city. Well, we were in Northern Virginia, and we were in a county about half the size of Bonner, and it was all volunteer fire departments, and it still is to this day. Mm-hmm. And at the time when I was a kid, everybody wanted to be an astronaut, an airline pilot, a truck driver, a firefighter, a police officer. Well, I was lucky enough that I became a firefighter, and I went through the training. I progressed to an emergency medical technician, then a firefighter emergency medical technician, then a paramedic, then a firefighter paramedic, finally culminating in me retiring about 35 years later as a fire captain. The one thing that I can say about being an elected official or politician, have you noticed that you can go to a class for just about anything? Welding, auto mechanics, EMT, anything, you can go to a class, but unless I'm looking in the wrong places, there are not too many classes out there to prepare you to be an elected official. And what we try to do then is just surround ourselves with good people, try to be good listeners, and realize fully that at any given point in time, some are going to really like you, some are really going to not like you. And
I must be really uninformed a little bit in this area because I never would have guessed that a fire commissioner was elected. What have I been missing? Have you had people like have opposed you? I need to have you in here, the two candidates.
You know, I did run against a very good candidate. And once again, I was lucky enough that the citizens decided to give me another 4-year term. Okay. But believe me, it was very humbling, not only for my first run at commissioner, but also my second. It's very humbling when you're telling somebody to vote for you when they're not even aware of your position existing.
Exactly.
So don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. And perhaps our upcoming forums, which we're going to talk about, perhaps can get some of the information out there. Because ultimately, the commissioners work for the citizens in the Northside Fire District. Mm-hmm. And we really want to hear from you. The good, the bad, the critiques, the accolades. We really like accolades.
You know, all of the whole team works. The whole team are serving our area, the commissioners and the fire chief and the EMTs and the, you know, the people that, you know, that go out and are called out and do the work. It's amazing. You are just the only one of three that you have to get elected.
Correct.
Correct. All right, we're up against a break almost, so we're going to take that break right now. When we come back, we've got two things that we want to get to you, and we're going to get to this a couple of times. One is the forums that are coming up. That's going to be next week. Vern has all the details for you, and we want to let you listeners out there know that this fire district needs volunteers. So let's give it a good listen and see if we've got people out there that want to step up.
You may think that bladder leaks only happen to women at a certain age, but it is a common condition for women of all ages. In fact, 1 in 3 women suffer from stress urinary incontinence, or SUI. SUI is caused by a weakness in the pelvic floor and can cause anxiety about leaks while performing activities like walking, sneezing, or laughing. Northwest Women's Care is now offering an FDA-approved treatment called Bulkamid. Bulkamid is a clinical-grade gel that is applied during an in-office procedure, which typically takes less than 10 minutes and allows you to return to your normal activities almost immediately. Studies show that 92% of women reporting their bladder leaks were cured or improved after their treatment and have demonstrated that Bulkamid is both safe and effective. Best of all, Bulkamid is now covered by most insurance providers. Contact Northwest Women's Care at 208-262-2482 to schedule your appointment or learn more at nwsh.com/Bulkamid.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
All new hours. Kate, the prior GM, and her husband Carson are the new owners, with your favorite lounge and restaurant staff. Now open for breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m. Yep, you heard it right. Now open for breakfast at 8 a.m.
Come on back to the Hydra for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks, like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
Hey, you got something on your face?
Right here?
No, over.
Right.
No, oh.
Yep.
Ah, forget it.
Cool, thanks.
Let's talk more savings. Neil here from Auto Credit Sales, and I want to go camping, but I can't until I sell S'more Cars. So this month, my sticky situation could be your sweet solution. You could save up to $2,000 on a nicer, newer car. The S'more you spend, the S'more you save. So if the flame's gone in your old ride, this deal's on fire. You could save up to $2,000 on a car that makes you melt. But wait, there's S'more where that came from. Been burned by credit before? My For the People credit approval process is sweeter than chocolate. Trek on down to Auto Credit Sales today, and you could save up to $2,000 on a nicer, newer car based on the price of the car you pick. But hurry, this deal's done once I'm out of the woods. I'm Neil, your dealer for the people. See all the cars at autocreditsales.com.
Credit requires bank approval. Negative equity may be refinanced. Vehicle purchase price determines actual discount offer absolutely expires June 30th, 2022.
Oh, I bent my tongue.
Keep up to date on everything we're doing at northidahoradio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We've got it going on here today with Vern Roof. He is the fire commissioner at Northside Fire District. He has a lot of good information for you. It's just so interesting the way, you know, Vern, we take, when we call, you know, the people that you serve, we call 911. We just really don't know all the behind-the-scenes preparation and commissioners and who's there. We just know we call 911 and we want somebody to come and help us. And so it's so interesting to me to see more of the inside work of what really goes on to prepare and to be ready to answer those calls. And so that's what we want to talk about, the forums where you want to inform us and inform your service area. So tell our audience about the forums.
Okay. We've got three separate forums coming up on June 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. They're all at 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. We figured if we set it at that period of time, people would have plenty of opportunity to work, get home, grab some dinner, and then show up, because we really, really would like to have people show up to the forums. I'm going to be representing the department. There could be some firefighters there. Also, our fire chief will be making an appearance if somebody should have a question for the fire chief. And they're going to make my job really easy if nobody shows up, because I'm going to be talking to myself.
So where are these forums going to take place?
All right. On June 7th, it will be at our Station 1 at 437 Cedar Avenue. And that's Pend'Oreille, right next to the post office. On the 8th, it will be at Odin Hall on Sunnyside Road. It's a polling place, so if anybody's listening out there that's out on Sunnyside, it's pretty much where you go to vote. And for those that may not be familiar with it, it's at 143 Sunnyside Road. And then on the 9th, station number 4, and once again, it's another polling place. It's on Samuels Road, specifically 64 Samuels Road. And if you're going on 95, you make a right-hand turn, cross over the railroad tracks, and the station's right there on your right.
All right. Well, I know you're going to have this information out in other venues and other places and in the Daily Bee, and so people can be looking. But just so they will mark their calendars for the 7th, that's next Tuesday, the 7th, Wednesday, the 8th, and Thursday, the 9th. So what is some of the information that that you want to get out to the people when they come to the forums? First of all, will there be a little bit of food?
You know, I have to admit, in the past, nobody has shown up for these, so we're really not quite sure. We debated, you know, exactly what we should do. I promise everyone, if these forums are successful, next time we have them, we definitely will have food preparation, et cetera.
Maybe coffee, at least some coffee or bottles.
Well, certainly.
Bottles of water.
Well, at our main fire station, we have water, we have coffee, we have bathrooms.
Awesome.
So we can certainly offer that. And I promise the citizens, if this turns out to be successful, we will definitely provide a greater culinary experience at perhaps future ones.
All right, but the main focus is going to be information. And so what is the information that you're going to be offering to these people when they show up?
Well, you'll see it advertised in the Bee and also the Reader as Northside Fire District, past, present, future. So we're going to give a little bit of the past. We're going to bring you to the present. And then we're going to show you where we'd like to be in the future, realizing that ultimately the citizens are going to go ahead and decide what type of service level they want. We're under no illusion that we'll ever be like the big city where you'll call 911 and within 5 minutes you'll have 20 people there with 7 or 8 trucks. We realize in the rural setting, it's going to take us a little bit of time to get there, but what we want to do is at least let people know when you dial 911, this is the chain of events that is occurring, and also exactly what is going to show up at your residence or your emergency. And if I could just give perhaps a little a teaser, should you call 911, and remember we spoke about the 3 different types of calls, you'll have a Bonner County Emergency Medical Services Unit responding. You'll have a representative from the fire department, certainly one of our engine companies. More than likely, you're going to see only one on the fire truck. Sometimes we'll have 2. If you have a fire, unfortunately, when you dial 911 for that type of fire, I can only really assure you of one person on that fire truck initially for the first 10 to 15 minutes. Now, our fire chief also is very good about responding. Once again, he'll co-respond. He'll certainly bring equipment to the scene. But whereas in the larger cities, you're going to have a multitude of firefighters responding, you may only have one firefighter responding for that initial 10 to 15 minutes. We have what's called mutual aid agreements with other fire departments where we're calling for help, they're providing assistance just like we would for them. Mm-hmm. So we will get additional firefighters there, but we want to just show people that initially you may only have 1 or 2 firefighters show up.
So this is where people can maybe start making decisions and thinking about if they want to expand or have expanded services. And of course, that means probably a higher tax assessment, but they would be weighing the benefit versus the cost, I'm assuming.
Well, correct. There's 2 different facets of that. We're critically short of volunteer firefighters. When I came here 10 years ago, we had about 20 plus volunteer firefighters. And at the time, there was no 24-hour paid staff. Now we have the one firefighter that's on duty at the station. He's supplemented by volunteer firefighters. But going back the 10 years, there actually became a point where the fire department had to start telling us volunteers, hey guys and gals, we don't need everybody to respond. We were showing up and having 7, 8, 9, 10 people on everything. So it got to a point where we just didn't need that many personnel. Now I wish I had that problem.
Yeah, exactly.
So if we can just get the volunteers, if we can get people to step up and be volunteers, and if I can say, not just for Northside Fire Districts, but for all the volunteer fire districts, it's not a problem just in Bonner County, it's nationwide. When you think about it, there's about a little over 1 million firefighters in the United States. 66% of them are volunteer. We think that we'll be able to attract 3 distinct groupings of people. The first would be perhaps a young man or woman who would like to get their foot in the door for fire services, emergency medical services. It's a great way to get your foot in the door. We provide the training. You can start somewhere. You can determine whether you like it or not. Plus, you'll be helping the community. The second tier of people would be, let's say, for instance, you already have a job, but you know what? Maybe it's on your bucket list that you'd like to become a firefighter. Come on down. Once again, we'll do the training for you. Perhaps you'll find a new career and at the same time be helping the community. The third grouping of people, they have no desire to be a full-time firefighter, but they want to help the community. Perhaps they can be in some type of support activity for us, which we do have positions. So once again, we really could use the volunteer firefighters. And at some point in time, once again, the citizens will have to make the final determination. Going forward, if people are happy with the limited resources that are initially responding, we can stay where we're at. But at some point in time, and I hate to almost say it, it's a horrible time to talk about levies. It's a horrible time to talk about taxes.
Hey, reality is reality. This is where the rubber hits the road. Yep.
And once again, ultimately, you, the citizens, are going to decide exactly what type of service level. Right now, our levy, if I could give just some really quick figures. Right now, for those of you that want some more information on the levy, essentially the county assessor's office determines the valuation of the district. We go ahead, and that is divided by our budget, which comes up with our levy rate. The state of Idaho only allows us to take a 3% increase each year. That levy rate will slide back and forth. Everybody thinks, well, geez, all the buildings are $1 million, $2 million. All these districts are rolling in cash. Not necessarily true because of that. Right now, ours is an easy way to figure out the levy rate without looking at your tax bill and seeing the 0.000037. If you figure right now in the Northside Fire Districts, it's about $37 per $100,000 evaluation.
Yeah, that is the way that this needs to be explained to people. Otherwise, their eyes start glassing over between, you know, budgets and dividing it by the number of taxpayers now. And they see $1 million home and they go, whoa, wait a minute. Though that is 10 times 100,000, I think. So
correct.
Do the math. Mm-hmm. All right. Before we've got just a little bit of time before the next break, and I know people, you know, and you said before that people ask you about the fire season and they ask you about weather. So we've had a rainy spring for sure. And there may be more rain coming, you think, in June. So does this mean that we may not be in as much fire danger this summer as we were last summer? And does it mean that our water tables are doing pretty good?
Well, I'm not really qualified to comment on the water tables. Hopefully, everything's flowing down to the water tables. But right now, coming out of Idaho Department of Lands and then also U.S. Forest Service, they're actually predicting a little cooler and perhaps a little wetter summer for our particular jurisdiction up here, this area. Already in southern Idaho, they're starting to experience the wildland season because of lack of rain.
Right.
But we've had a fair amount of rain. Normally, a wet spring dictates a later start to the fire season. It doesn't mean that we could still not have a severe fire season, but certainly it's starting much later. So everybody's kind of keeping their fingers crossed, and the experts will tell you that normally they'll have a little better idea exactly what the fire season will be like by about the middle or the end of June.
One of the concerns is that with this much rain, we get a lot of brush. We get a lot of, you know, foliage coming up and a lot of, if it then turns really dry and hot, then all that undergrowth and all those bushes and foliage, they just become fodder for a fire. So it can work both ways with having a lot of rain, it can, if things go really dry and droughty at the end of summer, like in August, September, and October, then all of this green stuff can burn.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We also think one of the things that I was wanted to ask you about, I'm looking at the time, we're going to take a break right now, and maybe we won't take a break right now. We are going to take a break. When we come back, the question I'm going to ask Vern has to do with, we typically think, as I was just talking, the fire season is like late summer, August, September, maybe even into October, but it's year-round with structure fires and fireworks and I don't know, Christmas trees lighten up on somebody's living room. So we're going to cover all that when we come back, and we'll be back after this.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Need reliable internet at an amazing price? Ziply Fiber has reliable internet starting at just $20 a month. Only fiber internet offers equally fast upload and download speeds. You'll enjoy reliable, smooth family video calls or work from home. Plus, you can get a $20 a month one-time introductory price for the first 12 months with no annual contracts. And the first month internet service is free. Visit ziplyfiber.com or call 1-866-MY-ZIPLY to see if fiber internet is available at your home. That's ziplyfiber.com.
Hi, this is Lauren.
And Eve.
With Knutson Chevrolet.
Come on in now for Knutson's Spring into Savings event, where we have our biggest selection of Chevy Silverados, Tahoes, Suburbans, and Colorados of the year.
We have a brand new 2022 Chevy Equinox all-wheel drive for only $27,471, one at this price.
Or this new 2022 Chevy Silverado Crew Cab 4x4 RST Z71, former service loaner, for only $48,630. That's 10% off MSRP, plus tax and fees.
Knutson Chevrolet is your family-owned, family-operated dealership since 1939 that puts customer service above all else.
Visit Knutson.com to schedule your at-home test drive and purchase your next vehicle online using ShopClick Drive.
Find new roads at Knutson Chevrolet.
Minutes west of Coeur d'Alene, just a short drive east of Spokane at 1900 East Polston Avenue, Post Falls.
Knutson Chevrolet, hard to say, easy to save.
Every 2 minutes, a woman in the U.S. is diagnosed with breast cancer. And in that split-second moment in time, her life changes forever. The toll of breast cancer is great. The need to support those who are battling the disease today is even greater. And that's why when others look away, Susan G. Komen leans in. We're fighting alongside patients because we know one moment can change a lifetime. Fighting breast cancer takes funding for research to discover the next new treatment, providing access to quality and affordable health care, and people willing to take action by raising funds and raising their voice to advocate for others. United by hope, we can end breast cancer. Join our fight. Save lives.
KSPT 1400, KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
Everybody, welcome back in. We're talking with the fire commissioner for Northside Fire District. It's a huge district. It covers 119 square miles. His name is Vern Roof, and this is just really interesting information. I hope you're enjoying the conversation, and I hope that you folks will go out to the forums next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Before we finish the show, I'll have Vern repeat for you where those forums are going to be held. So I had Susan Bowman on the program a couple of weeks ago, Keep Bonner County Rural, and she talked about a lot of things. But one of the things she talked about was the county commissioners approving taking 714 acres in the Selly Valley from 20 acres to 10 acre parcels. And so my question for you is, were you consulted in that decision, and what kind of a role does the fire district play in that kind of growth to assure that we still have fire or the Selly Valley still has fire coverage and medical personnel coverage and vehicle accident coverage that you guys come out for?
That's a great question. I know that the chief and I were at some of those meetings, and quite a few of our citizens reached out to us saying, you know, why did you not make a specific comment? And just for those of you that aren't aware of it, when a project is becoming it's coming forward, they'll go ahead and send it out to the different agencies for comment. And our problem was we really have nothing to do with rezoning. And we really will go ahead and make a comment when we know exactly what that rezoning is going to be comprised of. So essentially what we did was we went to the meetings and just assured people that your fire department will be involved in the decision-making process, but until we know a little bit more information, we cannot go to, for instance, we utilize what is called the International Fire Code, which dictates access roads, hydrants, water supplies, safety issues. So once again, it's kind of difficult. It would be like asking somebody, hey, would you make a comment on this subdivision, but not giving you any information on how many homes are in there, how large the homes are, what the water sources are. So it's kind of a catch-22 the way it's written up in Idaho code. We went there basically to reassure the people that when this comes before us, that we will, you know, hold the developers accountable, so to speak, for having appropriate access roads, the appropriate water sources, so as to provide for a timely response, not only for the fire department, but also for the other emergency medical services, such as the police and the paramedics.
So you feel that the county commissioners did keep you in the loop? You were at the meetings, and if I'm understanding, until you know, I mean, they doubled the allowed parcels in over 700 acres in Sully Valley. So that could be significant in what you were called to cover. And you know that that's going to potentially double. So until you know that it's doubling and how that will happen, you really can't comment.
Yeah, we really don't have anything to do, as I stated, in the actual rezoning. But we went ahead and brought some success stories along with us as far as subdivisions and projects that had come before the planning process that the fire department had made not only recommendations but requirements for. Two of them were smaller subdivisions, and then certainly one of them was the Idaho Club. We required all-weather roads, hydrants in there, appropriate access for fire equipment, etc. So it's not that, if I can give you this example, would be like somebody coming and saying, hey, we'd like to build a hotel. What are your comments? But not giving you any more information on the hotel. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be very interested, but we just need to see more of the particulars.
Interested and involved.
Correct.
Yes. Well, before we took the break, I had alluded to, I'm just still blown away by you, 840 calls and only 17 or 18 of them were structure fires. I just thought that was would be a bigger percentage. But nevertheless, I think of fire season like late summer and wildland fires that may or may not threaten structures. But really for you, it could be all year round with fireworks or, like I said, Christmas trees. So really you have a year-round vigilance on fires, and including woodland fires.
You know, the woodland fires and the vegetation fires really don't give us much of a problem during the wintertime.
Right.
As far as the structure fires and the building fires, they present a problem or a possible problem all year round. And realizing, too, that, for instance, if you have a building fire in the wildland season, certainly that could progress from a building fire into the vegetation, into the forests, mm-hmm. and it could go from Northside's fire district into somebody else's fire district.
Right.
If I could add one more thing as far as the 119 square miles, just so that everybody can appreciate why we really need more volunteers, that 119 square miles is covered by our chief, who works from 7 in the morning till 4 p.m., and he's on call. He's able to respond almost 24 hours a day, so he's always backing up our paid personnel. So one chief, he's on from 7 in the morning till 4, and we have four firefighters. Each day, we have one firefighter on two of the shifts, and the other shift, we have two firefighters. So when you think about it, 119 square miles, on duty, we have two personnel, and we have right now, because once again, we've had volunteers who have gone away to school. They're now in a different job. They've moved away from the area. We have probably about 6 or 7 active volunteers.
For people out there listening who may know someone that they think might be interested or they're interested themselves, we have a lot of people listening right now. How do they get in touch with you or another commissioner to say they're interested in talking about volunteering?
You know, you can go to our website. You can even actually apply to become a volunteer on our website.
Awesome.
You can
just Google Northside Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll pop up.
Yep, and you'll see the heading Volunteers Needed. It's on there all the time. Also, the information about the forum's on there. You can go to our website, as I mentioned. You can give the fire station a call. You can drop by the fire station, actually talk with the chief or the firefighters. You won't always catch them there, so probably emailing us, calling us first.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, you can email me. My email address is vroof, just like the top of a house, at northsidefire.org, and I'll get right back with you. Once again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but 119 square miles.
We need volunteers.
We need volunteers.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, having volunteers saves a tremendous, tremendous amount of money for the taxpayers, not only here, but throughout the United States. Remember, 66% of the firefighters are volunteer in the United States.
You talked about different levels of volunteerism for the Northside Fire District, or really any fire district. So, you know, people need to, perhaps they would benefit to understand that, first of all, is there an age limit, like they need to be 18 years and above?
18 years of age and above for
okay.
firefighters. And as far as the training goes, it's pretty much a national standard. Most fire departments will require what is considered a firefighter one and an emergency medical technician certificate. Those are the two things that will get you into most fire departments. It's a commitment of time of probably, if you really committed yourself, about a year, perhaps a little over a year to take both those courses. They can be rather costly if you go to for instance, a junior college. Even though the junior colleges are great, they'll give you price breaks, et cetera. Once again, we can provide that training. And even though, for instance...
Is it free?
It is free if you come to us, and there's always some type of class. We try to tailor it to the people, realizing that they have schedules, they have families, they have other commitments. We realize that they're trying to do this not only for the district, but for the citizens.
What a valuable training, though, just to have the emergency medical training. I know at Pondere Shores, where I am, you know, I'm not a full-time employee at all, but I do lead water aerobics there. Every year I'm required to take, the AED, the automatic, whatever that defibrillator thing is, and CPR and first aid, just kind of the first level. It's fairly detailed. And you know what? I think our last instructor, it wasn't from the Northside Fire District, but I think he was from the Samoan Fire District, outright right there in the mm-hmm. Clark Fork, Hope, the Peninsula area. So, I mean, just for your own... your own good for around your family and other people to have that medical training is super valuable, in addition to the firefighter training and to get certified with a fire district. I think it would be exciting for, and you were talking about different levels that people can participate in the work that goes on.
Correct. Ideally, as they're going through this training, they're going to be going through an intensive training program where they're going to be able to start meeting some of the requirements, which will assist them as they go through these formalized classes. Once again, it could be a great opening of the door for someone who wants to perhaps go on to a larger fire department or a paramedic service. And once again, we're hoping to attract those groupings of people who maybe just want to have a change and maybe want to help their community.
If you can believe it, our time is up. This has been so enjoyable. Vern Roof, Fire Commissioner, one of three fire commissioners for Northside Fire District. I appreciate your time and your coming in and talking to us. Come on, everybody. The fire districts need volunteers. Northside Fire District is reaching out to you. I invite you all to come back next Tuesday. Oh, my goodness, we're going to have a little bit of fun next week. This is going to be a real change up for you guys. Mark and Karen Reiner They are the musical directors with the long-standing Pondere Chorale and Orchestra Group. Talk about volunteers. This is an all-volunteer chorale. So until next week, this is Barbara saying take care and God bless.